somber mood here at FalconCast. Everybody's trying to smile. We're trying to be happy. I will say this. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Enjoy a lot of turkey. Watch a lot of football on Thursday. Actually, today is Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Thursday.
So enjoy a lot of football today.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, enjoy a lot of food because I know I'm going to go eat a lot. I'm going to kind of soak my misery in turkey and stuffing. It's not dressing, by the way, for everybody who was having that argument this week. It's stuffing.
It's stuffing.
Stuffing, yeah.
Is it stuffing or dressing in your household, Shock?
It is, we call it dressing, though.
Whoa, okay.
All right, well, Bosek, real quick. Stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing.
Thank you. All right, 3-1, Shock. You lose.
It's all good. I don't care. I'm going to eat it regardless.
I don't care what you call it.
Okay, it's delicious. Yeah. That's what I call it.
Call it what you want.
One thing that's also delicious is taking us with you on iTunes. You can subscribe to FalconCast. Just search FalconCast. Hit the subscribe button to get each week's episode on the go. This week's episode, not a happy one. Hadn't been a happy one in a while. I remember the beginning of the season. We were, hey, 5-0. Hey, 4-0.
Yeah.
And now we're just going.
Now, 6-0.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
I don't even have enough fingers.
A lot of fingers we can't do. There's some fingers I'd like to put up and probably get us in a lot of trouble right now. So we don't do that. Falcons lose, though, to Indianapolis over the weekend. 24-21 in a game that, let's be honest, you controlled really from start to finish, and you had so many opportunities to not only be up 21-7, you should have been up 31-7, 34-7. That game should have been completely out of reach. Unfortunately, self-inflicted errors once again, turnovers in the red zone, Matt with a horrible interception that ties the game, penalties, missed opportunities, missed field goals, and all of a sudden now you're sitting at 6-4, and the playoffs, which 5 short weeks ago looked like a foregone conclusion, now you're really sitting going, oh boy, we got a lot of competition for this last wild card spot.
We really counted those chickens before they hatched, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Those chickens didn't hatch. Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty nicely. You've got first 5 weeks that are in stark contrast to the last 5 weeks, and the Falcons have a lot of figuring out to do, I think, at this point. I think, the self-inflicted wounds are the ones that are the most troubling and have been for a couple of weeks now. But, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago against San Francisco, you kind of solved the penalty problem. You kind of solved, the turnover problem to a certain extent. I think this week those same problems came back and reared their ugly head at probably the least opportune time. You know, you had a Tevin Coleman fumble deep in your own end that luckily Ricardo Allen came up with a huge play to stop that one, that scoring threat. But then, a little bit later on, you go, you have the Colts with all the field in the world to have to work with to get within a score, and you have three just really bad penalties that get them right back into the game. And then obviously the pick six that turned the tide big time, and those are all disappointing plays because, you're not getting outplayed. Again, you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot, and so those are the kinds of mistakes that are hard to overcome.
When I think about the ball game, and I think about obviously the second half was pretty bad and how you finished the game. I go back to the first half and the reason why you weren't able to get the win that you really probably deserved and should have got. Just the way you started the game with the interception in plus territory, you got to turn that into points. You get a fumble by Frank Gore, you should have got points out of that. Instead, you got 0 points out of both those situations. You go into halftime up only 14-7. And this is where I think the Colts felt like, hey, we're in good position. Right. We turned the ball over twice in plus territory, and we gave up nothing. And I think the biggest thing this season has always been two things that DQ's always talk about, starting fast and also finishing. And the second half obviously goes, true and form with finishing. But the first half was all about starting fast. And you had great opportunity, like you talked about, as soon as we came on, opportunities to really finish this game off or start the game off really well, and you don't do it. Obviously, you had the missed field goal by Matt, but you got to be able to capitalize those things in a position where it puts you ahead early and starts fast, especially with a backup quarterback on the road. You're trying to exercise some of the demons you've had for the past couple of weeks, and you finally get into the plus and the turnover margin, and you're not able to capitalize on them.
Well, and here's a sense of those opportunities that you missed. I mean, Dan Quinn is the kind of guy who wins the toss, he's going to defer. He wants his defense on the field. He wants the ball at halftime. You know, Mike Smith always wanted the ball to start out. So you win the toss, you defer. Second play, you get that interception. Boom. That decision works out really well for you. You don't get points out of that.
It's almost like you get the ball – to start the game and at halftime.
Right, exactly. Like you've got the whole world in front of you at that point. You don't get any points out of that. Again, the fumble. You don't get any points out of that as well. You've got the ball with, I think, about 2 minutes left at the end of the first half. You're able to, you know, obviously go down the field and get yourself some security and come back out and start with the ball in the second half. You stall out. Okay, and the Colts just run out the clock to end the half. Then you come out and you go and you score at the start of the second half, but then you completely fall apart. If you were able to take advantage of some of those first half situations, you could kind of afford to have the kind of bad second half that you had. But when you miss those opportunities that present themselves, you have a really, really hard time, you know. It ends up being a game of runs. You know, we hear that in basketball a lot, but I mean, the momentum switches a lot of times in football too. And, you know, you're able to weather that storm a little bit when you provide yourself with that cushion, but the Falcons got absolutely nothing out of those situations.
When it was 21-7, there was no thought in my head that they were going to lose that football game. Yeah. I mean, you kind of looked up and you go, okay, it's been ugly. It's been lethargic. You haven't taken advantage of what you guys just laid out. Multiple opportunities to have the score at 31-7 or whatever it could have been. But you still sit at 21-7 and go, all right, Matt Hasselbeck's not going to outscore you by 17 the rest of the game. And lo and behold, he didn't have to.
Yeah.
He gets a couple of penalties and you know, give referees a lot of times get bad names. They were legitimate pass interference penalties. Akeem King never looks back for the football. He runs right through the receiver. I mean, those things are going to happen. Unfortunately, that results in a touchdown, and it's 21-14. You get another stop, as you guys mentioned. You get the ball at the one-yard line, and I know a lot of people on Twitter yesterday or the other night were saying, hey, wait a second. You know, why would you try to throw it out of your own end zone? Well, a lot of times when you're backed up at the one, that is a great time to take a vertical shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you, on the route, Julio Jones, they had press coverage with a safety over the top. He takes an outside release and has a vertical route. I thought for sure Matt's just going to put him up the bat, throw it down the field, see what can happen. Not sure what the backside route was. I'll be honest, when he threw it, I said, what the heck just happened? DeQuell Jackson, it was right in his arms. It was almost like he was running the route. I think Tammy was running a route behind a shock. You mentioned it on the post-game coverage on the Falcons Radio Network. You said that was a situation where a defender almost declares as a pass rusher, walks up to the line, and you can talk about it. As a quarterback, you kind of lose track of where that guy's at.
What people fail to realize sometimes is on that particular play, I'll go to the fact of down on the goal line, it's always 50-50 where you run or pass. And people think, why would you pass? Like you mentioned, it's the perfect time to pass. You got nothing to lose. You're on the one-yard line. Take a shot. If it doesn't work, you got two other downs to try to give your opponent some feel. But on that particular play, I was trying to explain it earlier. Me and Jay were talking about it. And as soon as the quarterback takes a snap, he initially looks at the linebacker. He looks at the linebacker, and initially, as soon as he looks at him, the linebacker's blitzing. So in his mind, he's running the play 1,000 times. I see the linebacker blitz. I know I have a whole lot of grass to throw. I turn around and I fling it to him. So as he goes back to play action, he looks at him, and then he turns his back to the line of scrimmage. As he turns his back to the line of scrimmage, he loses what happens behind him. And as he loses what happens behind him, the linebacker just creeps back, and he falls into coverage. And after the game, you can hear Matt talk about a particular play. He said, I got to see it. And that told me right there that, hey, this is a play that he routinely does every single day. He throws it 100 times a day. And without even hardly thinking about it, he turns around and just timing lets it go. And it's on the one-yard line. I got to be timed. I got to be correct and let it go. And it's one of those situations where I'm sure he would love to have it back. It's one of those throws, one of those situations where he has to see it before he throws it. But he just turned around on timing. He thought the guy was blitzing. He's going to have free access. That's what they call it. Free access to throw that slant to Tammy coming right behind him. And how many times have we seen this happen all year long? This is the first time we've seen the linebacker actually fall back into coverage. We've seen this play work almost 99% of the time. He hits that backside slant. We've seen him start the game like this before they even get the run game going. They start the game with this and hit Julio on it plenty of times. So we've seen this play happen. He's running a million times, and I'm sure he thought at that one particular moment, I got free access. I can turn around and sling it and let it go.
I think somebody asked Quinn after the game, might have been Mark Zeno asked Quinn after the game, would his mindset have changed if Devontae Freeman was in the game in that situation? And Dan was like, no, not necessarily. I mean, that is a great shot play. And I think you got everything you were looking for, minus a linebacker dropping into coverage. I was shocked that Matt didn't just throw it down to Julio. Put him up the bat. What's the worst that happens? Maybe you get an interference. Maybe he comes down with a catch. You know, worst case scenario, they come up with an interception. I'd much rather him intercept it 45 yards down the field instead of strolling into the end zone to tie up the football game. But either way, the criticism now for Matt Ryan is being ratcheted up probably 100-fold. 19th in the NFL right now is he in QBR, which is not good. I mean, that's a, you know, middle-of-the-road quarterback. We expect a heck of a lot more from Matt. And I'll ask both of you, is it fair, the criticism that he's getting now in the midst of 4 out of 5 losing?
You know, I think from the outside looking in, I think it's fair. I mean, everything, the quarterback's always going to get the praise when things are going well, and he's always going to get the blame when things are not going well. And so that's not going to change. I think, you know, there's, if you ask Matt, Matt would be the first one to tell you, I need to play better.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as blame goes, you know, you can look at the quarterback, and I think you end up being justified. I think one of the things you have to remember, though, is that there's a lot of fluky stuff that happens as a product of a football game, right? So you're going to talk about, gosh, you turned the ball over for the sixth time this year in the red zone. Right. Well, I mean, it's a tip pass. Dwight Lowry makes a heck of a play on the replay. I don't know that it's an interception. It looked like the ball maybe hit the ground. They rule it an interception. It's a fluky football play. That stuff happens all the time. You go back to the Tennessee game. You know, you throw that ball to Jacob Tammy. He bobbles it on the ground. They end up picking it off in the end zone. Those are fluky plays that just end up happening. So not necessarily the quarterback's fault. It just it is what it is. So, you know, I think DJ's explanation of that particular play where, you know, the pick six, I think goes a long way towards understanding, you know, what a quarterback is up against and what he's dealing with in a lot of different situations. Because, again, you're doing that play 100 times in practice. It becomes automatic. It becomes muscle memory. And Matt saying, I've got to see it, means I've got to make sure that that linebacker's not there, which is why, to the lay fan who's out there watching the game, it looks like Matt just threw it right to the linebacker. Well, that's not what he wanted to do.
Right.
It just ended up being a situation that didn't work out because he thought he blitzed and he didn't. You know, so are there things that Matt can do better? Sure. There's things that a lot of guys can do better. We saw yesterday, Sunday, that Julio Jones is missing blocks. We see, you know, Tevin Coleman fumbling the ball. We see Roddy White with drops, Leonard Hankerson with drops. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around on this team right now, and I think all of these guys are looking at themselves. And nobody's looking at Matt on this team in this locker room saying, you're the reason why we're in this situation right now. I think there's a lot of guys looking in the mirror, and I think that ends up being the most important thing. I still have faith in Matt.
The criticism goes just because we've seen Matt at his best. We've seen how good he can be. We've seen him take this team to new heights at different parts of the season. In his 8 years he's been here, and I think everybody holds him to that high standard. So when he doesn't play to that level, then obviously he's going to get the criticism, like you mentioned. Sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not. And I tell people it's a team game.
Right.
You just mentioned some stuff that happened on offense. Defensively, you saw Durant had a tackle in open field. He should have made guys misfitting in the run zone sometimes. And it's not to call any particular guys out. This is just to tell you guys, this is a team game.
Yeah,
everybody has to do their job on every single play. The coach did a good job of game planning. In the second half, they blitzed way more than they did in the first half. This is what they did. They adjusted to what the Falcons were doing, and they started bringing more guys than we can block. And when that happens, Matt gets a little bit get a little rushed in the pocket.
Right.
So passes come out earlier. Sometimes he has to throw it a tenth of a second before he wants to. We saw earlier in the year, Stupar comes off the edge against Washington, and Kirk Cousins has to throw it a half second before he wants to, and guess who's sitting there for?
Yeah.
So things like that are going to happen. They're going to have a game plan for you. They're gonna do a good job because they get paid as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I can understand the quarterback getting the brunt of it. And that's part of it. Matt understands it. He's been around it. He's a pro. And the only thing he can do is learn from it and get better. And that's what this team has to do going forward.
Here's one of the things you'll look at. Falcons sit at 6-4 now, obviously, on the season. You're in a wild card fight, and we'll discuss that here in just a moment. But a lot of times, and I don't remember if it's Madden said this, somebody said it, you are what your record is. I mean, and that's the truth. Maybe the Falcons won a couple of games early on that they shouldn't have won. And maybe they've lost some games here, San Francisco and Indianapolis, Tampa Bay as well, that they shouldn't have lost. You're a 6-4 football team because that's what your body of work has proven so far. Yep. Now the question is, can you do enough now to get into the NFC playoffs? That's all that matters. I know people are going to say, well, wait a second. You want to be the top seed. You do.
Sure.
Yeah. You'd love to win the division and get a bye. We all would. But what you really want more than anything else is to be one of the six that are left at the end of the year in the NFC. Right now, you are in the playoffs if they started today. There's your positive note on a Thursday morning. You'd be in the playoffs if they started today. You're going to play teams you are fighting against here in the next couple of weeks. You still control your own destiny.
No doubt.
What do you do to take advantage of this?
You know what? Well, one thing that I saw in this past game, and everybody talks about, what did we do better in the off week? What did we learn from, you know, the losses that we had previously? And I look on the defensive side of the ball, and this is a positive. I saw a defense that did some things differently than they did in the first few weeks in those other two losses. I saw a lot of pressure. Yes. I saw a lot of guys trying to get to the quarterback.
Corner fires, everything.
We saw True Funk come and get a sack. We haven't seen that.
Alford blitzed a few times.
We saw Warlow. We saw different guys line up on the edge of the line of scrimmage. At times, they had six guys on the line of scrimmage. We brought 6-7 guys. Throughout the first 5-6 games, we only saw rushing 4. So this is something that we've seen. They looked at their film. They self-scouted themselves and said, all right, here's some things we got to do better. These are things we got to change. And we know DQ is a guy who loved to get pressure with 4 and said, this is what I'm about. But guess what? It wasn't working. So he's decided to do some things to make things a little bit better, and they did that. So I was impressed by that part of it, of the defense really trying to get after the offense and changing things up as far as how they're blitzing and how they're getting after guys. So I think some of that has to go along with the rest of this season. You have to do some things that are a little unorthodox, some things that you're not used to doing.
Right.
But you got to find a way. Whatever it is, you got to find a way to finish this season out. Like you mentioned, you got everything in front of you. Whatever you want. You're not one of these teams who are 5-5, 4-6, who need some things to happen. You need some other teams to lose for you. You don't need that. You have to finish what you have that's in front of you, and you control everything about your season, and that's the best part about it. Because of the great success you had starting the season is why you're in position where you control your own destiny. So you got to look at it. There's some positive stuff to think about. Yeah, the past 5 weeks haven't been up to par. But guess what? You're still in position to do the thing that you want to do coming into this season, which is ultimately get to the playoffs. You want to win the division like we talked about. But if you're in the dance, you got a chance to rewrite your season.
Let's say Green Bay won a Super Bowl coming out of the 6-hole as a 9-7 team. I mean,
so did the Giants.
Yeah, have the Giants. You just got
to
get
both
there.
Those teams beat us on the way to those too. By the way,
I don't want to relive those.
Thanks, John.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, you really have to change whatever the mindset is, I think, at this point, because, you know, we hear all the time that, you know, we face every game like it's a championship week and those types of things. And I think, you know, you really have to look at this now where, you know, even one loss at this point, it's going to put you in a really, really tough spot. Yes, you control your own destiny, and no, it's not too late, but man, is it getting close.
Yeah.
It is getting really close to being too late to do something. And you would have liked to have seen this past week, you take care of business, you give yourself a little cushion, get yourself on the right path going into the second half of the season, but that's not how it worked out. Now you're playing a very tough Minnesota team. Coming off a tough loss against Green Bay, you know, Teddy Bridgewater might be a little banged up, but I mean, it doesn't matter with us and backup quarterbacks this year, apparently.
Yeah, we're 3-2 against backup quarterbacks.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We'll take anybody at this point because it's not going to matter. But, I mean, I think you've got to be in that mindset where you have to refuse to lose. You cannot lose. And we've seen over the past, at least I have over the past 6 seasons, where you get out to a lead and you are unable to put it away. You don't have the killer instinct. You don't have the ability to just take advantage of the opportunities that you're given. You have to do what Dan Quinn has been preaching, and that's finish, period. What happens in the 59 minutes and 59 seconds of the game doesn't matter, as long as one of those seconds you're coming away as a winner.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a way to close those games out and, you know, really have a do-or-die situation, you know, mentality, because that's kind of the situation you're in right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, ask Michigan State about finishing.
Ooh.
They have yeah. led Ohio State and Michigan for a grand total of 0 seconds, that's yet it. They won both of those games.
And that's all that matters.
And that's the yeah. only thing that matters. They grind.
That's all people going to remember. That's why I said, you know, you want to be upset about the Tennessee win. You want to be upset about the way we beat Washington or whatever. It Man. Does not matter. Those were points that we made on this show back then. It does not matter. Winning is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, there's no committee in the National Football League.
No, because let me tell you something. There's a lot of fans out there right now who were upset about the Tennessee win, who are probably more upset about the Colts loss.
Right.
So, you know, you got to look at these things like that, because, you know, the wins are all that matters at the end of the year.
Minnesota coming to town. It'll be the last time the Falcons will be at home for a long time. They have a 3-game road trip afterwards, which I said at the beginning of the year, you're going to have to go 2-1 on that trip to make the playoffs. I said yesterday on the pregame coverage on the Falcons Radio Network, or not yesterday, on Sunday, I said, period, this was a must-win, talking about Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Falcons didn't win. This game against Minnesota is a must-win. And I'll tell you why it's more important than the Indy game. And it's not because the Indy game's in the rearview mirror. You're fighting against a team that you potentially could have to go against for a wild card.
Yeah.
You want to have those tiebreakers. That's where the early games against the NFC East were huge. Mm-hmm. If anybody in the NFC East now ties you, you have a tiebreaker over everybody in that division. Minnesota's a team right now that actually has, a half a game lead or a 1-game lead on you in the wild card race. You want to beat them and grab that tiebreaker. That could be something down the road. Now that you look at the NFC wildcard picture, Tampa's only a game behind you at 5-5. Lo and behold, Jameis Winston's playing some good football.
It's like 4 or 5 teams. That's
Seattle.
Right there,
well, Seattle's 5-5. Those are the two closest ones to you. Here's the great thing: Minnesota, who you play, you have a chance to take advantage of them. Tampa, you'll play again in their building. You'll have a chance to tie that series and put them a game further behind you. Minnesota's huge. I watched a lot of the Green Bay game on Sunday, get ready to go to WWE. Green Bay physically beat up Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pressure, pressure, pressure. They sacked Teddy like 6 times. They shut down Adrian Peterson. They did just enough offensively. Minnesota, though, has a really good underrated defense, and the Falcons better be ready to
play. And here's what I like about the game that Minnesota and Green Bay played in, that I want the Falcons to kind of have that type of attitude, is Green Bay was coming in with the mind frame of, we can lose our 4th straight game and really be out of it. Yep. And you know, be fighting for it like the Falcons are right now. And they brought that attitude, like you mentioned, was, we're going to dominate them. I don't care where we're at. This is a must-win for us. Right. And this is the same type of attitude the Falcons should have approaching this game. And once again, you're going to be at your home, just like Minnesota was at their home, but Green Bay didn't care. This is a situation where you have to go into this ball game thinking, this is a game we must have because of all those reasons you just mentioned, and because it means everything going forward in the season. You can't get to the Carolinas and the Tampas without going through to Minnesota. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota means the most right now. And I think this is – you're working on 1-game seasons right now, really.
Yeah, and you learn a lot about who you are when your back's up against the wall. And so we're going to find out this week what this Falcons team really is. Are they the first half team that went 5-0, or are they the one that's lost four of the last 5 right now? It's that toughness that we keep hearing about, the ability to finish, that they really need to display while also being precise when it comes to the mistakes and fixing some of that stuff. I think you have to focus on this game as, if it's ever going to be a championship week, it's got to be this week. Yep. Because you're basically, I mean, here's the reality of the situation that I read this morning, is that, you know, Carolina can win the NFC South with 2 wins and 1 Falcons loss before we even play Carolina.
Wow.
So put the division behind it. Don't even worry about that right now. Right. You have to beat the Minnesota Vikings in order to keep it going, keep moving, and make these games later on in the season really mean something. This game, it's a must-win. You know, everybody asks us all the time, well, is this a must-win game? Well, yeah, one's a must-win game.
Real deal.
Yeah, the last thing I ever want to do in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season is play the what-if game. Well, we need this team to lose, but they got to win. No.
No.
Take care of your own business. Stay in front in the wild card race. I'm here to tell you, Seattle's playing some good football. Yep. They're starting to get things turned around. You don't want to have to wait and hope that Seattle loses a game. So.
But to your point, and this is why I caution anybody. I know things look bad right now. I caution anybody against it, and at my own detriment, to potentially hear in February about how after we lost to the Colts, I said that we weren't out of it yet. Look, the teams that you mentioned just a little bit ago, the Giants, the Packers, I mean, the year the Giants won, they were talking about firing Tom Coughlin.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were at this point right now where you were just completely underachieving. You're not doing what you should be doing. You know, the team's falling apart, all that kind of stuff. You're able to turn around and you parlay that into one of the best Super Bowl victories I think we've seen in quite a while. The Packers were in the same exact situation. Just
everybody was hurt.
I mean, clawing and scrapping. Yes, they were completely injured.
Did they get in the playoffs that year because DeSean Jackson fumbled a punt? Like, literally, he fumbled a punt and allowed the other team lost, and that's how the Packers were able to get into the playoffs.
Right.
They came in here and just went bananas.
I hate seeing so many fans just kind of give up when the NFL is such a week-to-week league. And there are so many things that can happen right now. So I really caution people. I mean, look, I get it. You're upset. You're disappointed. All those things.
Should be.
It's very easy. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's so easy to be like, I'm done with it. I'm good. But look, I mean, there's still a lot of football left to play. And until it's done, there's plenty of reason to think that things can get turned around.
Now, Halloween we had a great time, Shock, without you on Halloween. My second favorite, and Halloween is my favorite holiday because I get to dress up like a kid and just have fun and, you know, hang out with my own kid. But my second favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
We're all fat.
Needless,
we all liked it.
Not Shock or Bosek. Bosek could you couldn't even feed Bosek for
Halloween. Bosek needs two Thanksgivings, back to back.
Right.
Bosek's like 117 pounds. But with that, a Thanksgiving themed break with Bosek.
That's right. Thanksgiving themed. I want to know your favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Mm. All of them.
the one that's piled very high. That's my favorite.
When your plates overlaps, you'd be looking for food underneath.
Yeah.
That's good. I love my grandma and my wife make a outstanding roast. We eat a roast on Thanksgiving as well. It's like deep fried turkey, all that kind of stuff. So.
Man.
Yeah. All that stuff really does it for me, so I can't wait.
So do we get an invite to a stately Shocky?
Yeah,
Shocky
you guys are always welcome. Man, always.
I'm bringing two plates of that one.
I'll bring an industrial-sized thing of aluminum foil.
Yeah, is it like the 7-Eleven, bring whatever and fill it up with a smoothie? Because
as much as I can carry,
I'm getting like, for me, it's macaroni and cheese. You can win me over. I can easily be bribed with two things. Macaroni and cheese and gummy bears will do it for me. Not together, but I mean.
I thought it would be pretty interesting.
They can do it for you.
So,
you know, cheese too, right?
What?
Nacho cheese?
Oh, nacho. Well, I've got a whole speech on how nacho cheese needs to be considered a condiment alongside ketchup.
Here
and
we
mustard.
Go.
But we can do that. We'll need conversation for the off season, so we'll save that debate. For
so, like in a dome, they got ketchup, they got mustard, they got onions.
You sit down
and
at any
cheese.
Any restaurant in the entire
it should be
country
in the middle with the salt and pepper.
It should be right there. That's it. That is my. If I was running for office, that would be my platform.
Now, my house is a non-traditional Thanksgiving home, and I know a lot of people say, "What do you mean by that?" We don't always go the turkey route.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go turkey some years, and then some years, like I think this
year, honey baked ham or something.
Oh no, I'm going steak and seafood. And
listen, man, sometimes you gotta be thankful for steak.
Hey, I'm thankful for crab legs as well. But if you go to the and what I do is my friends all do the traditional Thanksgiving, so I'll cook my own food. And then go pillage their house.
So you got a nice assortment.
Huh? Yeah, so I make sure that I get some turkey in there. But I'm with Jay. Macaroni.
Plethora.
You get me that pan of macaroni and cheese, the edges that are a little bit burnt.
And it's a little bit hard on the side.
Oh, yeah. I can eat that, and, you know, then I kind of ridicule myself for the rest of the weekend as I go, I just took in 14,000 calories.
Yeah, but it was so good. This conversation is like X-rated now.
You should never feel bad about eating bad on Thanksgiving.
That's the ultimate cheat day.
Yeah, yeah.
Much like I don't feel bad about eating on the plane, I don't feel bad about eating during
football. That's a good cheat day.
This part of the year, you know,
days that end in Y are good cheat days.
Shock, everybody's not able to stay in great shape like you are. You no matter what. I had lost a bunch of weight. Jay had lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah, but Bosek's got the metabolism of a freaking kiln.
Yeah, but he's like 23. Of course, at his age, I was his size. Bosek is going to catch up to you eventually.
Your description of macaroni and cheese actually just put on about 2-3 pounds.
You all were salivating the whole time.
I might have gotten a little.
You can see our minds rolling.
What's your favorite dish, Bosek?
My mom makes a good sweet potato casserole.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
With the little marshmallows. Does she do the marshmallows on top?
No, but it's still
brown
very
sugar
good.
In there?
Maybe sometimes she adds it. Yeah. Sure.
Sweet potato casserole.
So you smash that on both sides.
That's a good one.
I'm not going to lie. Boston Market has that sweet potato casserole. Oh, I'll get like the whole cup of that thing.
I didn't eat breakfast.
I had a granola bar because we had a conversation on Sunday about how we both got to get back on the wagon.
Yeah, and I'm back on. I'm sore already.
But you're back off, man.
No.
Thanksgiving, you're back off.
No, because my gym's open on Thanksgiving morning, so I'm going to go over there. I'll pop into work. Well, actually, today. Today.
Yeah.
I went to the gym this morning. Mm-hmm. This is my way to stay accountable. and then pop into work for a little bit, do some work then I'll go and enjoy my Thanksgiving later and without
too much
guilt.
So the gym was the lower body workout, and then later on is the upper body.
Upper body. Yeah. We're going to do some fork curls.
I'll also do some of the 8-ounce curls.
8-ounce curls.
The 8-ounce curls are good. Got to have those.
Got to.
All right, Bosek, what do we have for a video of the week?
We got little extras from the turkey bowl.
Turkey bowling, man.
Little extras.
So now that it's Thursday, everybody's seen, you know, the turkey bowling and, you know, the defense came out the winners this year.
Yes.
And, but, man, was it just fun. Fun
great
day.
Times,
great
time.
All right.
Hey!
Look at those dudes.
Maybe he needs noise. He needs noise.
When you say Buzz Weiser.
Oh, he's coming with it.
Yeah.
Oh!
Now this is my favorite right here.
That is what sequence right there. Look at that.
Woo.
Coming with the heat, y'all.
Yeah. Oh!
Park it up.
Let them go first, you feel me? Because we know they're going to roll a few gutters.
Yeah.
I got to make sure because, you know, they like to cheat.
Can I get a little
they holding more? Stuff on defense.
This is coming from a guy that did this last year.
I know the technique.
You
know,
newcomers right here.
That's Young Schofield, everybody. Devontae.
Clean him up, though. I got
DeMarco.
Caleb Wheeler. Hey, how you do the highlight, mate?
He's in his own world.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, what?
Starting to see signs of Ronda Rousey.
Oh!
Not backing it up. Nationwide's not on your side.
Hey, get him off the camera. Get off the camera.
No love. Jeez.
No love.
Hey, we're champs over here. We're champs right here. You see that?
This is not your picks to click shot.
Yeah, you guys all predicted wrong, by the way.
Yeah, didn't
I never gave a chance to pick. You guys picked. I didn't pick.
We went with the experience of the running backs there. That was a great time. I look forward to that event.
By the way, I didn't like that camera angle. That added like 20 pounds on me.
Well, look, man, this is what I said.
Even Shock looked big.
Zach Klein, our good friend, comes up to me before the game Sunday, and he goes, man, you're looking good. I said, don't lie to me. Don't you lie to me.
Don't let Zach fool you. Zach eats nothing but lettuce.
Right. You go back and look at Austin from about June, and then you look at today's podcast. Forget about it.
Mike did the same thing for me. He goes,
Send us your diet tips,
yes,
please.
Whatever you need. Come on, please.
Yeah, send
them to us. Yeah.
Send us your diet tips.
And also send me tips on how to win Picks to Click, because this is getting embarrassing. Like, this is flat out embarrassing.
I locked this up.
Three plays into the game.
We were all texting. And Bosek tried to lobby for his guy. I shut that down pretty quickly.
What's so crazy is I'm watching the game, and the first thing I think about is Picks to Click.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dog it, Jay.
Well, John had to remind me that I picked Paul Warlow after the interception. He's like, isn't that your guy? I'm like,
yeah, that's my guy.
Oh, yeah, that is. I did pick him. So,
I was reminded by all the texts that I am the Picks to Click jinx. Yeah. Everybody I pick has the worst week they've had all year long. I had Jacob Tammy this week, who's been coming off like double-digit catches the last three. He had one catch. One target, one catch.
Well, you picked the wrong time because Hankerson came back, and Hank gets those receptions.
Yeah. Get him, Jay. Get him.
Strategy. Gotta think about this stuff.
I'm going to go last because going first doesn't help me anyway, okay. So you guys have it. I don't care who goes first.
Go ahead, DJ. No, DJ hasn't gone first in a while.
I ain't going first in a while. Okay. Well, the obvious guy. Warlow has done really well. I'm not even going to pick Warlow. I'm going to gaze into the stratosphere and see I should go with I'm still thinking.
See how prepared we all come for Picks to Click.
I'm going to go with My man Schofield, man. Okay. I think Scho's going to make he seems so close last week to some pressure.
Him and Claymore look good together. Yeah. They look good together on that side.
I'm looking for my man Scho. Make some noise for me, baby.
There we go.
Bosek, go ahead. Fire away.
All right. Let's see. I want to do it.
Trufant. Go for it. Yeah, go back to
him. I want to.
He's going back.
So I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go with Desmond Trufant.
There you go.
Back right. to the beginning of the season. Maybe he'll get me my pick six I thought he
He's playing some good ball.
He's playing great ball.
I'm going with my man Justin Durant. I tried to get him.
Because I had such a successful day. That's what it is.
He had a good day.
Nine tackles.
He had a good day. You know, Warlow beat him on some of the other stuff. But
really?
I'm going with Durant. I tried to get him a couple of weeks ago, and he ended up being injured. So I want to get on the Durant wagon and see where that takes me.
I'm going completely outside the box.
Here we go.
Oh,
who's
boy.
Jinxed Uh-oh. This week?
I mean,
who are you dumping off your fantasy team this week?
You got to take –
I'm going with Jake Matthews. Since we're doing the grading, since we're taking the grading from Pro Football Focus, I'm going Jake Matthews.
Can you not, please? Because gosh,
so what is what does he have to do? Not give up a
bad.
Sack? I mean, come
no,
on.
Pro Football Focus will grade who the highest graded players are.
I haven't used that in a few
this
weeks.
This is not Pro Football Focus.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll scratch that. We'll go away from Jake Matthews. I think he wins the game this week for us. I'm going Matt Bryant.
There you
go.
Okay.
Matt Bryant.
All right. We'll accept that. Here's what I said. I told you beforehand. I said you need to pick somebody who's going to be on the inactive list, so they can't possibly perform poorly.
Right.
Because everybody that you choose, you get a kiss of death this year.
I know it's been terrible. The only what I did was the only win I have all season. I had Devontae Freeman the week before we got rid of Devontae Freeman, where we said he's no longer available.
John's win with Devontae Freeman was the end of being able to choose Devontae Freeman. Like that, we were all like, John won? Oh, no, we got to change the rules.
I thought I would kill this year because I'm really good at fantasy football. I'm really awful at this.
Yeah, I'm terrible at fantasy football, too, and I'm surprised.
I'm actually good at fantasy football.
I'm surprised that next week I'm going to be tied with DJ.
I don't think that's going to happen. Sounds good.
I'll be tied with
Jet
next
Much
week,
like
so.
The Falcons are going to finish fast, mark my words. I'm coming to get you guys.
That's right. It's
sounds
never,
good
never
in a wild hood.
Mathematically, you're not out of it.
No, I'm not.
But on the other hand, you need some things to happen for you. You need some people to lead.
You don't control your own destiny.
You know who I am right now? I'm the Braves. Mathematically, I'm not out of it, but really I am. Guys, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yes,
come
indeed.
On out Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. We'll see you.
Boom. TV.
Little cutter. Not a little low.
Oh!
A little low.
A little low.
Bam!
Oh, you sure.